In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the words of the preacher. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of everyone, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of countenance the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The preacher here is the writer of Ecclesiastes. So I have a confession to make. I like funerals better than weddings. Weddings can be wonderful, but people are usually more than a little uptight at a wedding. There's tension in the air. You see forced smiles pasted over top of anxious faces. Weddings leave me exhausted and sadly cynical, knowing that many end in divorce and that many young couples especially won't darken the door of a church again until they have children, or maybe until the children reach adolescence. The only sure thing in a marriage or in a wedding is that there are hard times ahead. If you've been married, you know this is true. But at a funeral, the drama is already done. The last page has been written. We know how things turn out. Often, not always, often there are tears and maybe some sobbing. Sometimes the tears come later. But whenever they come, they're honest tears. They're tears born of experience and they're tears of genuine love. Love that has been tested and tried. Love that has failed and gotten back up again. Love that reflects the deep roots someone has planted in another person's heart. Grief and sadness are not the companions we're taught to choose. Your friends may look askance at you for expressing them, but grief has deep meaning and impact. Grief means that we have been in relationship, however broken or disrupted or strained or disconnected. There's an entanglement there, like two particles seen through the lens of quantum physics. Grief is not something we ask for, and I don't believe it's something that God wishes on us, but it is part of the experience of God, something Jesus clearly manifested at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And as we bear the image of God, it is our experience as well. John Pavlovitz has written, I wanted grief to leave, but then I realized that it hasn't come here uninvited to do me damage. It has come here to surprise me with a gift that I hadn't asked for, wouldn't say that I wanted, but so desperately need. The gift is this terrible, painful, bittersweetness that reminds me just how well loved I was to be feeling such sadness now. This heartbreak is a monument, these tears a tribute. Grief means that you are not alone. Grief means that God is near. Grief means that you love and you are loved. So Advent is a season of darkness, a season of anticipation. And that's kind of what grief is. Grief is an absence. It's a hollowness. It's an empty space inside. Grief is a deposit, a down payment on the love of God for which full payment will, without a doubt, be made. And so at Christmas, we celebrate the coming of the one who would pay that debt. We celebrate the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of comfort for God's people. We celebrate the coming of a light into the world that the darkness could not overcome. So for some people, this is the season of jingle bells and Hallmark movies and Santa Claus. And I'm glad for them, because that's good. But Christmas is also about unaccompanied minors flying halfway across the country from one parent's house to the other. It's about a million little things that we did last year, but this year the one who did them is absent. Or maybe I am less able to accomplish them. It's about the remembrance of a hurt that happened 40 years ago, or maybe last month. It's about choices that may not have served me well, or about things that just happened, and I could do nothing about them at all. These are all a part of Advent. These are just the things that Jesus came to be a part of. Born into poverty, a political refugee who fled into Africa, misunderstood and betrayed by those who were closest to him, crucified for a love that was too big to fit. Christmas is about the God, the creator of the universe, departing from some hypothetical world of bliss and choosing to dwell in this messy, dirty, unfair, inexplicable world of grief. Because even that grief can be redeemed. And even in grief, God's reach is not thwarted. So bring your grief to Advent. And if you don't feel joy at Christmas, then accept the holiday as a promise, a down payment of God's intention for you. And all those annoying, laughing people, they're a sign, they're a symbol, they're a token of something to which you are coming by way of a deeper path. God's promise is sure. The drama is already done. The last page has been written. We know how things turn out. Resurrection follows death as surely as day follows night. If now is your night, that means you've already received the promise of a new dawn. Here at St. Thomas, we have gathered to wait for the dawn together. Amen.